Hi, this is Variety Shunavir for Akashi Media Podcast Live, giving you an update on the commentary of Part 4, R. Kelly's accusations, alleged sex abuse, New York trial. The deliberations with the jury is now getting started. The first thing that I want to say is this. I do not support rape. I do not support child molestation. Anyone who commits a crime like that, male or female, should go to prison. However, I've had the opportunity to take time to look over videos, to read media online, to watch media online, and I came to my own conclusion today that there are no forensics significance with this trial, R. Kelly's alleged sex abuse trial. You have 45 people who are alleged victims or claim to be victims, and you don't have 45 forensics of each victim. You don't have photographs of where the assaults took place. You have one video out of 45 people that's supposed to have been of a woman that wasn't shown to the public, of a man. I don't know if it was actually R. Kelly in this video or not, but it was a man in a video with a woman, with another man, having a threesome. R. Kelly's medical doctor said that he examined him for the possibility of herpes, but it wasn't documented on record for herpes. You have women who are saying that he made me have sex with another woman. In a case like that, you could have gotten herpes from another woman. How do you know that a woman did not give R. Kelly herpes? R. Kelly has been married. He's married to Drea Kelly. I assume that she does not have herpes. She has never said that she had herpes. They have three children. You have one person out of 45 women or 44 women, because it was one male that supposedly spoke that he supposedly had tried to be intimate with. So you have 44 women who don't have herpes. You have one woman out of 45 victims who claim to have contracted herpes from R. Kelly. One victim. Aaliyah is deceased. She has audio, video, that says that he was her best friend. If Aaliyah's mother knew that her daughter was raped, or she ever told her mother that, I know Diane would have pursued legal action. There was nothing there with that relationship other than young love. Love starts from the heart before it's on paper. There are a lot of people who have gotten married young. My grandparents got married at 14 years old in Alabama and had 15 children. My grandmother approved her daughter at 16 years old to marry a 21-year-old, and her marriage lasts for 18 years. So, everyone grow up at different times in different eras, different kind of upbringings, however they feel love or relationship should go. Everyone have an opportunity to make their own choices and decisions. Girl talk. I know for a fact that women talk about sexual relationships with men. Whether it was your man, your boyfriend, a fling, a summer fling, a one-night stand, we talk about our sexual encounters. There is no way that 44 women went to R. Kelly's house and did not know something about him sexually. If he had herpes and he gave one woman herpes, everyone else would have known, because you all in a home together, how could you have not told another woman he has herpes? You have police officers who work for him as bodyguards off duty. You had the opportunity to tell a police officer on duty at a location, "I'm being abused." You had opportunities to make noise, kick, sounds, so on and so forth. Something could have been done. There's supposedly been a child down in a basement in a house with helicopters, and no child was pulled up out of the basement of his house. You have family members of victims who never came looking for them. Kelly Price today has a post of missing in Georgia, and she's a celebrity. People are concerned about her. Where is Kelly Price? This could have been the same thing happened to 44 women. They're supposedly been missing and kidnapped by R. Kelly. You don't have any victims, family members filing police reports of a missing person. You have one man who was a minister who came to the home of R. Kelly's and stood outside and did a press conference. One person. People say these women have children at home. Children will call the police and say, "My mama's missing. My mama hasn't come home yet." I know for a fact that there are women who have children that stand in a man's house and take their kids to other people's homes and leave them there so they can be with their man, so their life is not interrupted. Women do that. Someone else is raising their kids. Sometimes grandma become mama. Nowadays you have fathers who are single fathers. I saw the emotions of Robert with Gail King, and I believed him. I believe he was innocent. I grew up with Robert. He was one of my best friends growing up. When he came back and forth from Chicago to Detroit, Robert and I have been in the same music class together. We went to the same high school. And I know him as a person. The Robert that I know is a very genuine guy. I've had my own apartment in Detroit. Robert has spent the night over my home. We have slept together on a sofa together. Robert has never tried to force sex on me. And he liked me more than a friend. Same thing with Floyd Mayweather Jr., Money Mayweather. I grew up with Floyd as well. My father and his father, his mother and my mother, Florence Ballard, the founder of the Supremes, were best friends. I'm Nicole Renee Ballard. I am not Nicole Renee Chapman. However, she is related to me. My name was changed over the years after my mother died to something else, which family members called me Roslyn, which that is not my birth name. However, I went from Roslyn to Variety. But there are a lot of people that still remember me when I was a child and know what I look like. I was 9 years old when she passed. So I have a great memory of my mother and my life spent with her. I grew up around a lot of different artists because a lot of those artists were relatives. I grew up around James Brown and my Aunt Dee Dee when my mother was alive. When my mother passed, I didn't have these relationships with these people anymore because my mother passed and then I went somewhere else. So I was taken away from my family. However, I'm older than Yama, but I was there when Yama was born at the home in Pinehurst. James Brown is my uncle through marriage because he married my mother's sister, Aunt Dee Dee, Deidre. Ike Turner. I know Ike Turner because I was around Ike and Tina. And so I am familiar with certain things that men have done over the years with women. I used to spend a night with Marvin Gaye and his wife when he used to live on Ampelon Street in Detroit. I used to go over there all the time. Spend a night when he was home from the road. He was Uncle Marvin to me. You know, when my mother went, you know, solo. Well, she wasn't solo when she was no longer an act with Motown. We lived in an apartment building. And David Ruffin lived in the same building down the hallway, you know. So I grew up around a lot of different acts. I traveled with them a few times, you know, and saw different relatives and things like that. And I did see some abuse, but I never saw abuse with my mother, Florence, being abused by a man. But I did see someone else being abused before. So I got a chance to, I saw Tammy Terrell, even if I was young. I have a great memory of people when I was young. I remember her, MTDLs, Joe Jackson, when he was around, you know, Detroit with the Jackson 5. I spent the night with Diana Ross, and my relationship with R. Kelly is that R. Kelly's grandparents lived on the same block as my grandparents in Detroit, Michigan. So that's how often I saw him. And then his aunts and uncle, who were twins, Ike and Irene, lived on the same block but next door to their father. Diana Ross lived across the street. My grandmother lived directly across the street from Diana Ross. And then on the left-hand side was Miss Ann, who was my babysitter. Otis Williams lived down the street on the same block as well. Kevin Little, who was a Caribbean singer, lived across the street on the corner, right next to the Jeffries Freeway. And Robert and I used to talk all the time outside on the porch, whatever, hang out or whatever, you know. And whenever he come back and forth to Chicago and to Detroit, I'm usually the first person he used to see, usually, especially if I was at home. And we were just cool like that. Or I'll see him at school or something, you know, because he was between two states, so he went to school in two different states. So that's kind of like he had things, I guess, set up like that, his parents or whatever. But he was always a great person. Everyone liked Robert when we were growing up. Everyone loved him. If Robert Kelly, even at that age, had that type of aura about him, about being a rapist or a young kid in high school who would do that to girls, my relatives would not have had him as my friend. They would never even open up the door for him. So he didn't even have that type of aura about himself. So I believe him, and I still look up to him. He's a genius. He's a producer. He's an artist. He made it. He really focused on his music. Music was his wife first. Music was his girlfriend first. He told me when we were, and I would say early 90s, that when I didn't see him in school sometimes for a long time, I said, where you been? You haven't been in school lately, you know? And he said, oh, you know, he finally told me about his reading disability, you know? And the way I look at things with that situation with him, and they even say the same thing about Floyd as well. Both of these men speak very well. That's the first thing. Both of them speak very well. Neither of them talk like they never had an education. Both of them speak very, very well. I personally think, I don't know what dyslexia is. I look at dyslexia as something that, like a person who speaks Spanish. Like Spanish, their words are written backwards. Their sentences are written backwards, their questions and things like that are written backwards, kind of. And a question mark is upside down. That's how I see dyslexia. You know, where English is written forward, but Spanish is written backwards. That's how I see dyslexia, you know. So he told me a little bit about his problem or whatever, but I didn't judge him or anything like that, but that's just how I saw it. But I looked at it like, I don't like fractions or algebra, you know. I don't know how he wrote music. He wrote music. We were in music class. He understood music. Maybe he just, I guess Robert was good at hearing, sight, hearing, and the rhythm of music, the sound of music. Some people have that. But he's a genius in his own way because he's a producer. He was still able to compose music and put music together so he could read music. So I just look at his problem as being able to read bars, and he just have a different language. He learned a different language of music, and that was his focus. You know, it's just like Floyd. When we were younger, Floyd would watch boxing all day long. I used to stay at Floyd's house in New York City with him and his mom. My mom used to stay with them too. We visited and everything. And I remember watching boxing with Floyd all day long. And when I say all day, I mean till it went snow on the television set. And back then they had a black and white television. And I said to Floyd, even during commercial, I said, do you think maybe we can turn the channel like for a minute or so or whatever to see something else like Winnie the Pooh or Mickey Mouse Club, and that answer was absolutely not. It's coming back on. It's going to be back on in a minute. And Floyd's mother had a different television set. She had to have two televisions because Floyd wanted to watch boxing, and there was nothing else going to be on television but boxing. And Floyd's plan has always been plan B, which is boxing. Period. So, I mean, I used to sit on the floor with him, and he would sit on my lap with his back against my chest, and we would just watch television together with him in his onesies on four-footed pajamas. And, that was it. And then he'll get hungry and say, I want something to eat or something, and come right back. But there was nothing else going to happen anywhere. He always had his way. Always had his way. And even Floyd, growing up, he had sisters, he had a mother. Whenever anyone got on his nerves, I never saw Floyd hit anyone, his mother, his sisters, anybody. He'd get on his phone, he'll dial the number, call his daddy, and say, Daddy, come get me. I want to be a boxer. Come get me. His daddy would say, okay, I'll be there in the morning. All right, I'll come get you. All right. He'll go pack his bag, whatever that bag was, and put whatever he had in that bag by the door. And his father would be there on time, not a minute late, not a second late. He had a father he could depend on, and that was his relationship. He had a great mother as well. He had the kind of mother that allowed him to see his father anytime he wanted to see his daddy or whatever. He didn't have the type of mother to say, no, you can't see your daddy or whatever, woo-woo, and nothing like that, because some women want to keep their children away from the father, but his mom was not like that. She was like probably ready to see him go. But he would come, he'll turn back and say to me, because he called me Rosin too growing up, he said, Rosin, I'll be back. I'm not gonna forget about you. I'll be back. I said, okay, Floyd. And then Floyd would call me. He'd find out I wasn't there when he got back, and I would be back in Detroit, and he'll call me from New York City or New York, where he lived from, and talk to me on the phone and said, I'm coming over to your house tomorrow because it's going to be the birthday party, for our parents, and I'm going to be there to come see you. I'll be there. I said, okay, I'll see you. And he come see me, and he found out that someone else liked me. And when Floyd got there, he made an announcement. As soon as his daddy put him down on the floor, because he was carried, he wasn't an infant, he wasn't a toddler, he was like probably four. He said, in a whole living room with the music playing, as soon as they put him down, it wasn't that loud, but he said, that's my woman. That is my woman. And everybody turned and looked at him, acknowledging that I was his woman. Everybody was like, damn, okay. And I stared at him like, what? Are you serious? And then I said, would Floyd give me a kiss? He puckered up and I gave him a kiss. And he held his lips after that and went and sat on the sofa. And his mother, my mother said, he looked like he about to faint. It was so cute. And his mother said he was like that for 2 weeks, holding his lips, So that was his first kiss and his first dance, because I used to put him on top of my feet, and we were social together with him on top of my feet, dancing to My Starlight or My Starship, that song, My Starship. That was our song. I grew up with Floyd and Robert Kelly, and I grew up with the Jacksons. And during the time they were in the Detroit area, and then I stayed with them off and on too in California. However, I just know the aura of these people, even Michael. I know the history of Michael Jackson as well. I know that Michael Jackson was molested by a woman, he was not molested by a man. I just feel that women do molest as well. And my own daughter has been in a problem with women who have hurt her, taken her from my home, done things to her, set her up with guys, all kind of stuff. So my daughter has been abused by women. And these type of people would do the abuse and then turn around, try to find something on someone else and put the blame on somebody else instead of themselves. See, they don't want to go to prison. They want somebody else to do time. My daughter's father was accused of a sexual crime before, and he did time for someone else. And come to find out, it was his son's uncle that did it. So he did 30 years in a penitentiary for a crime that he did not do. And he told this to my daughter, and his sister told it to my daughter, because they're half-siblings, and their father went to prison for 30 years for a crime, sex crime, that another man did. But the man who did it was my stepson's uncle that did it. So I take it very serious that this case where R. Kelly does not have any forensics significance. I support him because he's my close friend and I love him. I grew up with him. I know his aura. I know that his aura is not like that. I have not spent time with him over the years because once Drea came into the picture, I know Drea. I met her. Her cousin lived next door to me, and I remember when she was ready to go on tour with Robert, and she was excited about that. I just feel that even with the situation with Drea, if Robert had married Aaliyah first, and they really want to focus a lot on Aaliyah in this trial, and I know that the jury is going to have the mindset that this is a deceased person who's been deceased for almost 20 years. Why are we talking about her? Her family is not here. Why are we bringing her up? Her mother has not tried to put charges against R. Kelly. Why are we bringing this up? I know that's what the jury is thinking. That's what I'm thinking. Why? You can easily go to some videos and see her saying, "He was my best friend." I really feel that if he did anything to Aaliyah, she would have said something. I believe that. This is my feeling. I feel that you just can't have 45 victims, one man in a home controlling 40 women, 20 men, women, 10 women, and not gang up on him and try to do something to him to get away. In my era of growing up, one woman cooked grits and threw it on Al Green. That was her retaliation. I just don't hear anything about retaliation of any kind. Everyone is saying the same thing. Everyone got the same story. Just about, I don't know anything about eating boo-boo. They have a woman that says she ate boo-boo. Crazy. Crazy. If women were inside his home, kept in bedrooms and couldn't use the bathroom, there should be forensics on that. Where did you use the bathroom at if you couldn't go to the bathroom? Did you pee on the floor? You know, I mean, when I say forensics, anyone who doesn't know what forensics is, we're talking about hair fibers, skin fibers, cut, blood, scratches, marks. R. Kelly doesn't have any marks, scratches, bites, anything. You don't have any weapons. You don't have a chokehold. You don't have anything showing pictures of bruises of any kind, grabbing by the neck. Even if he grabs someone by their hair, you don't have any nails in their hair. You don't have any skin cells, skin falling from the fingers in the hair. There's no hair on his floor. There's no hair on carpet, sinks, toilets, drains. You don't have handcuffs. You don't have any weapons of bondage. You don't have any pictures of bondage, of rooms of bondage, of what they call BMF or whatever they call it, BMM, BMF or whatever it is. You don't see no bondage with no belts, no shackles, no chains, no buckles. People are talking about videos again with him supposedly in a video, but they didn't. I don't know what that video looks like. I don't know if it's a full body shot of him in a video or not. I don't know if it's just at the waistline of a video. You know, there's no forensics of a woman or any of these women with OBGYN records. Like I said, herpes. He could have gotten it from the woman that gave him herpes. You have another woman that claimed that Usher gave her herpes. Could that be the same girl? Usher just had a beautiful daughter, and she doesn't look like she was born with herpes to me. There's a doctor that's saying, well, you know, he started prescribing, you know, this antibiotics to R. Kelly for herpes. Okay, well, I've never seen R. Kelly with any photographs with herpes on his lips. Herpes do form on your lips too, not just on your penis. And if R. Kelly gives a lot of oral sex between the legs, you best believe there's gonna be some herpes bumps on his mouth. No forensics of that either. Labels, girlfriends. They're labeling these women as girlfriends, lovers, whatever. That's still not significant of a relationship. What I mean by that is, do you have authorization to use the credit card? Is your name on a bank account, a joint account, a utility bill, anything that demonstrates that I'm here in this relationship with this man? You know, he gave me a credit card. He let me drive a Bentley. I got a gas card to go to the gas station. I have a bank statement. I got one utility bill, even if it's the phone bill, something that shows significance of a relationship. Or authorization. Doesn't sound like that's going on there either. Girl talk. Women talk about men all the time sexually. All the time. Whether it's their husband, their boyfriend, a one-night stand, a summer fling, just met. Internet love, online love, online chat, video chat, whatever it is. How you meet a person, met them through a friend, blind date, whatever. Women talk, girl talk. They're gonna talk about if he got a pinky with a thumb on it penis. They're gonna tell you if he got a python dick, if he the snake. Women will talk if he's the Minuteman, Too Many Brother, something. Women talk. If a man has herpes, your ass is going to know. Girl, we was into it. And I know damn well the lights ain't always off when you're having sex. It's not. It's not. I mean, we have red light specials, blue lights, red lights, black lights, incense, candle lights, you name it. You're going to be able to see something. Now, one victim said, this one victim who has herpes, out of 44 victims, you have one victim that has herpes, one. You don't have 44 women with herpes. You have only one woman with herpes. And he supposedly slept with all 44 women. Including his wife. And there's only one who has a record, supposedly, with herpes. I don't know how that's possible. Because they're sharing the same penis. Allegedly, he made two of them do each other, have sex with each other, and he's doing them at the same time. I don't understand how one woman has herpes, and if he's screwing two women at once, the other one don't got it. Don't make no damn sense. Oral sex. You got the same penis going in your mouth if you're sharing the same penis. You still got one woman who got herpes, and she only got it in the vagina area. She ain't saying nothing about her mouth and her lips. Herpes break out in the tongue area. It breaks out into the cheeks of the mouth. It breaks out on the lips. Herpes get in your eyes. Herpes get in a lot of different places. Not just your genitals. It travels. They say they have some type of medicine to control it or whatever. There are people who have sex that do it when I guess their lesions are not up. I don't know. I don't know anyone with herpes or ever had it. And I'm 53 years old, and I thank God that I've always had a clean bill of health. I myself use condoms. And when I didn't trust my own damn husband, he gonna put a damn condom on too. Because if I get a vibe and I say, I ain't feeling this. Yeah, put that condom on. Because I do that with my own damn spouse. Put it on. Because I got a feeling. And I'm always right. And yes, he did have a mistress. But anyway. I am just saying these things because no man should go to prison for nothing. And these are all black women. And I hope, Art, that you don't stop loving black women. The chocolate drops. Because we're not all the same. However, white women in the past of history have always gotten away with saying that a black man raped them when they really didn't. They end up going to prison for the rest of their lives or whatever, 20, 30 years, because of what white women had the control and power to say. It's in the past of history itself. You know. And then they come to find out years later after the person has done 30 years through DNA testing, they find out they were innocent. So, this R. Kelly alleged sex abuse case, this trial does not have any testing, even through DNA. DNA on 44 women, 45 women, 44 women, or one male. He doesn't have any testing either. There's nothing there. You don't have no family members knocking on the door, bringing the door down. Like Master P said, if it was my family, I would have been busting the door open and breaking it down. You don't have anyone seen to be looking and running after people. They don't have police reports. You don't have anyone out of 44 women following a police report. They're saying, oh, I didn't follow a police report because I didn't want to lose my credibility in the industry. So therefore, you're still going to continue being in an industry and pursuing someone else. That's how I took that. So it didn't make you want to give up the industry because you got herpes from R. Kelly or he raped you or anything. It still made you want to continue to be in this industry. That's what one of the victims said. Okay. That shit would make me give up. Something would make me give up at some point. You know, I would learn from an experience. I think I would. Drea, his wife, ex-wife. Aaliyah was before Drea. She was his background dancer. She was his dance choreographer. So therefore, she was on tour. Aaliyah did go on tour with R. Kelly at some point of her career. But she still married R. Kelly, even after he married this minor. And she still had three children for him. So obviously, age wasn't nothing but a number. We'll go on to the next. So, there's supposed to be other trials coming up after this trial. I don't see how it's going to go through. Because this is a big case here with 45 people claiming that they were sexually abused by one man. And they were powerless. They didn't have a mouthpiece. They couldn't kick the door down. They couldn't make no noise. They couldn't act crazy. I know a lot of crazy people. When they get out in public, they show their ass off. They get drunk, they get high, they talk shit, they act crazy. Women be talking shit in cars, screaming down the street in automobiles. I don't know. But I just know for a fact, if you're in a circle this big, then you knew. You knew what was going on. I personally think and feel just like a trial attorney said, she gave commentary today and she said that there was no evidence. It's very little evidence. And I agree with that. I said that earlier myself. There's no evidence here. I'm not reading anything about no evidence. They didn't bring it like that. The prosecutor didn't bring it like that. But this case is so big that I don't see how any case in Chicago or anywhere else after this is going to go through. I really feel he's going to get acquitted. I feel that he should get acquitted. It should not be a case where they just say reasonable doubt. I don't think he should go to prison for reasonable doubt. I think he should be judged on significant evidence, and there is no significant evidence. To me, this is hearsay. This is hearsay. I know for a fact that myself, I left home at 19 years old. I was pregnant with my daughter at 19 years old. I left Detroit, Michigan. I moved to Grand Rapids, Michigan, 400 miles away. I did not keep up with my family for like 6 months. They didn't come see me till I was almost time to deliver. I was working at JCPenney's. I had my own condo up there. And but my family, when I finally contacted them, they came to see about me. They wanted to see about my surroundings, who I was with, where I lived. They came to check on me. And And when they came, they were surprised, like, wow, you have this big condo in this nice suburban area. And I was looking at them like, well, what was I supposed to do? What were you expecting? They just said, we didn't know if you were living with a guy or not. That could have been my prerogative if I was, because I was 19 years old. But no, I'm not. So they were comfortable because my lease was in my name. My utilities was in my name, and I know how they are. I know somebody sat outside to watch my place for a while to see if someone came in and out as a male, and they didn't see that. Even if I had my own place, I had a right to have a male in my house if I wanted to. I pay the bills, and I pay the cost to be the boss, and it was my place. But that was not the case. But they was just being cautious just to see. I had another relative that came up there after I had my daughter. And, you know, she came to see if the place was still in my name, if it was still utilities in my name, everything was still in my name, everything was still the same like it was. And she was like, okay, I'm leaving, you know, just come check on you, whatever. I said, I'm good, you know. I had relatives that came to my place to spend a night, a couple days, and they did that intentionally to see if anybody was going to walk up in there late at night, 2, 3, 4 in the morning, and it would be like, hey, who's these people in my house? None of that. It was still my place. So everyone was like, that's her place. So at 19, I was pretty mature. You know, and the reason why I was pretty mature at that age is because my father, my uncle, always told me, you're going to be on your own. You're going to have to take care of yourself. My mother, Flo Bella, was never like that. She was like, I'm the mother. I'm supposed to take care of you. She never said any of those things. You're going to be on your own. But my father did. And I mean, when I say that, my father prepared me in kindergarten to be on my own. Literally. And when I say that, I had my own key made. They put the key around my neck. I had to walk home from school. My dad would have tuna fish and Wonder Bread and Tang waiting on the table. Make your own sandwich. This is like a little appetizer, but we're going to go to grandma's house for dinner. That's how my father was every day. It was either that or peanut butter. It was something simple or egg salad where I can make my own sandwich and then we'll go to grandma's house and eat the real dinner, greens and everything, cornbread and black-eyed peas and all that other stuff. But that's how my father had it set up. He had it set up with the iron, me iron clothes, but after I started having the iron too hot and burning up my clothes, then he stopped putting the iron out. But literally, my father prepared me to be on my own. And that meant to open up the door on my own, let myself in, even in kindergarten. Lock the door. The landlord lives upstairs. Don't open the door for anyone, is what I was taught. And I mean literally. And I don't care who it is, because we had an aunt that was a social worker, and she would come bang on that door, bang on our door, bang on our door, and I would not open up that door for her. She can yell, scream, all she want. That door is not going to open, and I did not open it. So, these are just things that prepared me for womanhood, you know, and basically that's it, you know, my sister was pretty mature too as well on her own, you know. But anyway, in any case, all I can say is that I feel like what was said today about R. Kelly's trial was that there are people who need to live off of him, who want money, who want to write books and do a lot of things. This is what the defense team was saying about him. I felt that too, in some kind of way. Record labels, to me, do not have the intention on really want to pay their artists long term. I mean, they can buy their masters, get their masters in the beginning, and Don't know about contracts, a lot of these things can just change along the way. You just be paid as an artist per song. You know, it depends on the producer, how they set things up as well. Sometimes they have contracts where you are creating work for hire. That's not good if you do, because then they can take it, they'll own it, and then they'll transfer it to another company, so on and so forth. But I will say this, I do see some elements here that were the same as Michael Jackson. Talking about molesting minors, for one. Michael Jackson was never accused of molesting any girls, but boys. You got one boy in this trial, one guy in this trial that's saying something happened with him and R. Kelly, supposedly, as a teenager. I don't see R. Kelly being bisexual at all whatsoever. Not at all. Not even when we're growing up. Then, you know, he don't have that vibe. He don't have that bent. He don't have that. I'd be shocked if he was. I'd be totally shocked. I mean, there are men who really look real masculine and they are real strong with it that are, but I just don't see that bent in him. I don't see that bent in him. And then he eating too much pussy to be bent. So that's just how I look at it. I see his trial and the things that he's going through is some elements of what happened to Michael Jackson. And he is or was with RCA, which is a label that's under Sony Music or part of Sony Music, from my understanding. And from my understanding, he used to have his own label as well. So I don't know how they worked all of that out, how his contract was set up. However, I used to work at a record label as well. But I will say this. Michael Jackson, I'm going to speak on him real quick while I'm on this subject, because the elements of R. Kelly and Michael Jackson is kind of like parallel. It's kind of like going in this direction. And like this trial attorney said, the defense said as well, that people are after money and they just don't have money. They want to live off of Robert. And they've been living off of Robert ever since she said that they did this Surviving R. Kelly video. You know, documentary, whatever. And the one thing about Michael Jackson is that I know that in 1987, during the album of Bad, right after Thriller, Michael Jackson signed a 30-year deal with Sony Music. That 30-year deal was up in 2009. Sony Music dissolved Sony Music Articles, April 2009, they dissolved Sony Music Articles, February of 2009. And Michael Jackson began rehearsals for This Is It Tour, April 2009. Michael Jackson was not getting paid any money. He was not paying his dancers. He was not paying his bodyguards. He was not receiving any money. He was supposed to have been getting money. People said he was getting money. People said that they were getting checks or whatever. And he was supposed to do a 50-tour deal. Maybe for $50 million or something, I'm not sure, something like that. But This Is It, as far as I'm concerned, of discovering and finding out through a source, it was never going to happen. Because Sony Music did not want it to happen. why? It's because Sony Music Holdings surrendered Sony Music articles February 2009, 2 months prior to Michael Jackson making a comeback. He died June 2009, which means that when he signed a billion-dollar deal 30 years prior, he owned Sony Music as 50% stakes. And I feel that they did not want to pay him his money. So they created all this controversy so they wouldn't pay him his money. So whatever he did have and accumulated and saved for himself, they wanted to milk him dry with trials and accusations and ruin his reputation. Is what I believe. And if anyone thinks that this is not real, then you can Google the State of California Corporation articles. Type in business search Sony Music and you will find out that Sony Music in 2009 surrendered their holdings. February 2009, same year of This Is It. They were not a label at that time. And they just recently, again, somewhere between 2012, or somewhere around a little later date than that, decided to revive Sony Music again. So any artist, including R. Kelly, or any artist who's going through any battles with any label, check the articles and see if they are alive as a corporation. Instead of letting executives tell you that we're dropping you, we're not going to keep you, we're dissolving this, we sold this, we did that. If you do not have a business, you cannot do nothing. And I'm going to also stress this. They're saying that R. Kelly cannot read. Therefore, in business, globally, in any state, in any country, no one who does not have the comprehension or is incapable of reading with any kind of disability of that sort does not have a valid contract because they can't read it. So therefore, that makes your contract and your business fraud. So you can throw out there that he's ignorant, but you should never be signing a contract, regardless if he has an attorney. An attorney should not be signing anything unless he has an interpreter to tell him what it says. And if you do not have any audio recording that can read text out loud of what the contract says, it should not be signed. Regardless. I don't care who you are, what you do at a label, or your position, how long you've been there, so on and so forth. VP, Vice President, Artist Relations, don't matter. It's against the law, even in the state of California. And Sony Music has been located in the state of California, in Santa Monica, and they dissolved that area and moved to New York or kept at New York location open. It's written in the state of California of business. A person cannot sign contracts if they do not know how to read and they have a disability. You cannot do business with someone who has a mental problem, who's incapacitated. And a person who cannot read, that you call illiterate, is incapacitated. They do not have the comprehension to do business. Sports athletes, anyone else, but people have gotten away with it for years as agents because they wanted to get paid and pay themselves. And they figure, oh, he's ignorant. She's ignorant. They'll just sign them anyway. Because their job is to make money, so is theirs. However, there are people that can talk to them about what they should do, which is have an advisor. So, those artists who might have had their publishings taken from them or the master's taken from them, if you don't understand the business concepts of business of contracts, your lawyer doesn't explain it to you, your manager doesn't explain it to you, I would just say I didn't know. And that itself makes everything invalid. I don't see how they can maintain power when they know you're not supposed to be signing something if you don't know. You're supposed to make communication effective in other formats, such as scan this contract on into the computer and put on speech text so it can say over the speaker what this contract is. By audio, and it can be recorded. Or you can have someone read it out loud. Braille. Phone. Telephonic. There's ways to have telephonic for it to come through your telephone and pick it up and it'll ring and say, this is going to be doing something. That can be done too. So there are options if you really want to use them. So don't always use illiteracy as an scapegoat in business. Maybe your downfall. Anyway, anyone can have the opportunity to learn and go back to school and read and not continue to have a disability and go back and learn Hilton phonics, have a special ed teacher who particularly teaches people with dyslexia. We're no different than anyone who speaks another language. So, education is power and the mind is a terrible thing to waste. And if Robert, for some reason, is convicted, I hope that he goes to every library there is and use every source he has to get educated if incarcerated, because he can make that change. Because prisoners do have libraries, and they can be taught how to read there and get degrees. It's done all the time. And I'm hoping that he's acquitted only because there's no evidence. And I wouldn't want anyone to do a crime that they did not do. I know we have big shots and movers and shakers in New York City. And there was a former district attorney who said that his enterprise was, or his actions was done like the mafia. Well, the mafia ran New York, Chicago, Las Vegas, Detroit, and maybe Philly. You had Al Capone's, the Earl Flynn's, the Get Down Connection, the Black Panthers, you name it. So, what can I say? He's from both cities. But you know what? The KKK ain't killed a lot of black people, but they asses ain't doing no time. But they should be. Don't be so quick to put a brother in jail. Because they did worse. I just feel that even Robert's situation with his enterprise, someone formed those articles. I mean, we're talking about an illiterate brother here. My God. This illiterate man that you all say, the accusers, whomever it is that's saying he's illiterate, formed a corporation. A man who cannot read formed articles of incorporation. Really? Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Sure he did. I don't think so. Unless he just went online or something and just heard some speech books or something or some audio books to learn how to form a corporation. Maybe he did that. But when you talk about illiteracy, you have a lot of stop signs. How could he know the girl's name or knew how to spell it or know what it was or anything? I mean, there's just a lot of things that could just go wrong with this whole thing, even dealing with people. I don't know. I mean, staying in a room. You know, I grew up with old-fashioned people, and when they had company, a person come in your home, and they stand at the door, and they wait until you invite them into another room. You just don't walk around all over a person's house. This is in every relative that I know. They wait at the door, and then they say, have a seat, or come into the living room, or the dining room, or the kitchen, or the den. You just don't follow them through the house. So not being able to walk around his house, that's respect, and that's rules that I grew up with. That's not uncommon. So I guess the rest of the world and all these people and and anchors and reporters just find that to just be in awe. Like, oh my God, you couldn't walk around his house? Hell no. You know, you had people breaking into his house when he was on tour. They stole everything out of his home. He didn't have anything in there. As far as I'm concerned, you stole equipment for recording and audio. You could have just made up the video. Used his equipment and filmed it yourself. As far as I'm concerned. It was never recovered. Who plotted that? The woman that was in a video that's supposed to have been this one evidence with this man that's supposed to have been R. Kelly that was having her hair grabbed and pulled, and he's supposed to have been making her give oral sex to another guy. Okay, so if he was making her have oral sex with another guy, then he didn't give her herpes because she was obviously giving oral sex to a guy who didn't have herpes. Some of this, dealing with adults, I'm just telling you that most of it is volunteer. I mean, you're there because you want to be there. People are saying, I still wanted to be in the circle and I didn't want to mess up the opportunity and be blacklisted. You fucking worried about being blacklisted after being raped by somebody? Who gives a fuck? Tell this shit earlier. You're going to wait 30 fucking years later, do some shit that they did to Bill Cosby later on and decide to fucking wait? The hell is going on up in here? You didn't want to be blacklisted. You still blacklisted because don't nobody know who the hell you are. And you still haven't made it. You still haven't made no albums. You still are not an actress. You still haven't gotten where you want with your career. You are blacklisted. Nobody knows you. So I guess all these nobodies got together and said, we came to this one guy because nobody else wanted us. He's doing your fucking favor. He didn't have to do it. And usually record labels pay producers to produce people. So the record labels are responsible for him being with any of these women if it was his job to promote them or produce them. They were the ones who sent these people to him. Because that's what they do. No one else is standing up or on trial with him. He's had help. He's the only one there. And the guy who was supposedly being given the head to, he's not there. He's not saying, oh, yeah, that was us in the video, you know, doing this girl. Oh, no, he's not going to do that. I think this trial jury is going to acquit R. Kelly. There's no evidence. And I think he should be acquitted based on the fact that there is no evidence. There's no forensics. No fibers. No hair in a drain, carpet. Car seats, tour bus, no spit, no shit, no dirty sheets, dirty panties, brushing your tooth with a toothbrush, and giving head to a guy and then go brush your teeth and got toothpaste spit in it and then got the toothbrush. Toothbrush is forensics because his sperm is going to be on the toothbrush for the fact that you brush your teeth. Gargle, spit, Something's gonna be in the damn sink. That's forensics. Spit in the sink. Sitting on his toilet stool. Peeing in a Dixie cup. Somebody said that he had gave them a cup from 7-Eleven to piss in. That's forensics. Your piss in the cup. His fingerprints on the cup. Your fingerprints on the cup and your piss in the cup. That's forensics. That's significant. Then we got none of this shit. None of this is there for evidence of 45 victims. One woman out of 44 women that got herpes. And you have a Playboy who had fucked 44 different women, including his wife, that don't have herpes. And you don't have 44 people saying, he gave me herpes. You have women that saying that they had same-sex relationships. Well, how do you know that one of those women didn't do a strap-on dildo and fuck each other with it and had herpes? And put herpes on a dildo, it went up in her and got herpes. How do you not know that? Where's the dildo? Strap on. Nobody is bringing even a dick to the damn courthouse. Why the fuck are these people there? You don't have no scabs from his penis or nothing. You don't have nothing like, girl, I gave him head and he had herpes. He spit the shit out, put it on a toilet paper, tissue or something. And save that shit. Something. None of that. There's no forensics on R. Kelly. This is allegations, accusations, and all talk. And this case should be dismissed and never tried again elsewhere. This should be it. And there are a lot of people who believe in their minds that if I can get rid of him, make him go to prison, he die in jail, I can live off his money, and so on and so forth. These goddamn labels don't give a damn about you. They don't give a damn how many kids you had. It's about them. Because if they cared about you, they would have made sure that he wasn't dismissed or they let go of him or however they wanted to handle it. They don't give a damn about your ass being on Skid Row. You didn't do no music or nothing. They don't care. These labels take out life insurance on their artists. And they worth more money dead at some point to them because of how they structured the contract to take their masters. Well, hopefully someone who's illiterate, who could not read, will be able to restore their masters and get it back simply because he couldn't read and it's against the law for him to sign over masters if he's incompetent. Especially if you're a label who surrendered your holdings, then the label was already deceased itself and there wasn't a business for them to do any of that. And if anyone wants to go against that, all they have to do is go online to the State of California Corporations and Business Search Sony Music. And you'll find out all the years that they formed it and dissolved their holdings. PDF printout. Have to be very specific with people so they don't think that you're making up shit. It's public. Search. Anyway, so to the victims. Hope you are able to forgive what has happened to you. Get help. Same thing with you, Robert. Have a heart to be forgiving to others for the wrong you have done to them in this lifetime and past lifetimes. And the same with these victims. And hopefully, you guys are not going to be looking to anyone else like Mayweather, because I saw Mayweather's name popping up in there as well. Y'all not too damn far off. Because he got strip club. He has a lot of women too. But he's smart. Because you women, you pretend like you guys are not cool. Y'all not friends. And then y'all get behind each other's back. Did you see the movie Fools Fall in Love? Only one woman left. But anyway, I just hope that all of you are able to get over what you've been through in your ordeal. Move on with your lives, get counseling, get help, domestic violence counseling, whatever you need to do. Women who are advocates for domestic violence, it just doesn't stop with you being an advocate. Your children, if you have children, need to see that the strong woman anthem. You have to be able to say, look, new career, more education, and be able to stand on your own with or without a man. Whether you have a daughter or a son, they need to see how you're going to come out of this as a woman, as a mother. And you must demonstrate to your children that I can move on and move forward and not continue to be a victim, because even as an advocate and talking about it and getting on the news, it's not going to make your world a better place if you're still seeking financial support from your abuser. You're not getting over it. You're not getting over it. You're still a victim because you're still calling and trying to get money out of a person that abused you, and they still have power. Not only they have power, but these labels have power as well. Because his money come from these labels. And if a person is incarcerated, they by law do not pay child support. But by law, they can receive income. But by law, they do not have to take their income and pay you. So those of you who are seeking damages, so on and so forth, some point by law, he would not have to pay you. And if he's found not guilty, he has every right to sue all of you individually as well for damages, defamation of character, and fraud. So, if R. Kelly is found not guilty and he's acquitted, get y'all money ready, because he has a right to seek damages on you and ruining his reputation and accusing him of doing something that he did not get convicted for. So don't look at it as one train going in one direction, because it definitely can be a boomerang. And those of you who have lived off of him in his home for free, or however it went down, because a lot of that has been talked, that a lot of people have lived off of him. You can be probably sued for that too and be compensated for living off of him. There are a lot of things can be twisted in a situation like this. And people who really believe in God, Abraham, the Father in heaven, the creator of all life, the living God. Abraham, the Father in heaven, the first and the last. There's no one before him or after him. And he's the only thing that's greater than yourself. He would definitely make your enemies fall on every side of you down. This may happen with this trial with R. Kelly. His enemies may fall on each side. Simply because you don't know where he is with God spiritually. And obviously, the Lord has been pleased with him at some point of his life because he's been very successful in his life. And people who have not been obedient to God have been seeking people like him to live off of and use and abuse and manipulate with their pussies. Now, any woman who thinks she's fine as fuck and you use your looks to get what you want, you should have everything that you want if your looks get you to where you want to be. You should not be in need if you're that fine. Thank you for listening. This is Variety Shunavir for Akashi Media Podcast Live. Give me your commentary on the update of the accusations of R. Kelly, the genius producer from Chicago, the Pied Piper of music, of R&B, his alleged trial of sex abuse to 45 victims that currently has jury in deliberation in New York. We got some high rollers from New York City. We got pool, so on and so forth. However, a lot of people claim they're part of the Illuminati, but it looks like it's being illuminated right now. A genius. A man, producer, who also produced the greatest entertainer that ever lived, Michael Jackson, who is also where Michael Jackson was, of being accused of sex abuse. Michael Jackson was acquitted of all his trials as well. Time is near to see if R. Kelly was, well, be acquitted. And if he is, I just pray that we do not have another funeral for another great artist who produced people and made a lot of people money. Time will tell. But God, I feel is on his side right now. Thank you for listening. To the fans of R. Kelly, thank you for listening. To the podcasters globally, not just myself, thank you for also doing your commentaries. We all are also fans, and some of us are not. But the right thing is just that, stop thinking, live, listen. People realize that you know what's going on. You know what you're getting into. If a man is a sex offender, why the hell are you at his house? You didn't have to go there. You could have found somebody else to date, to deal with, anything. You did not have to see R. Kelly, even after Aaliyah. Marriage, what took place, what? Even longer? That's 30 years ago. You didn't even have to be involved with R. Kelly. But still, people went on ahead and married him anyway. And had kids. Anyway, work on you. Do you. That's what y'all all say. So, everyone needs to seek counseling and help R. Kelly and these victims. Everyone needs help. And everyone needs God. Thank you for listening. This is Varai Shanavir for Kashi Media Podcast Live. The daughter, first one child, Flo Baby, 1217, Po Chow, a Patel as well. The daughter of the founder of the Supremes. My mother was Florence Glenda Ballard, a woman who was in the media as well as being raped. And she was in the front seat of an automobile by knife point. But she still was able to become a mother and be a mother. And continue to hold on to God. Thank you for listening. Till next time.